Welcome to Nathan's School of Thought. I'm Nathan Walker, Global Performance Coach, here to share principles gleaned from decades of teaching, training, and coaching on four continents. Whether you're a senior executive, salesperson, new parent, military leader, artist, musician, head of a nonprofit, or a student, it doesn't matter who you are, only who you can become. Join me each week to have your brain flipped upside down as we move together toward a happier, healthier, and much more productive life. Hello, my friends. In the world of music, there's a principle called tension and release. Great composers throughout the centuries have used this to control the feeling or the emotion of a piece of music. The chords or combination of notes that produce tension are referred to as dissonance. Dissonance always seeks resolution. In a movie soundtrack, for example, the composer might do something to build a sense of anticipation or tension and then resolve it. When that resolution happens, it produces an emotional and measurable physiological reaction. It actually changes our bodies. Leaving the chord unresolved is stressful. Listen to this example from a soundtrack I wrote several years ago, and identify the place at which the chord resolves, and you feel your body sort of sink into the chair. The example you just heard was short, but some great symphonies will build tension like this for several minutes, even hours. Movie soundtracks always employ this principle of tension and release, conflict and resolution. In our personal lives, we often hold beliefs that are inconsistent or at odds with each other. Psychologists call this internal conflict cognitive dissonance. We can hold conflicting beliefs about anything and at any time. They may be polar opposites or simple inconsistencies, but without resolution, they cause discomfort, stress, or even catastrophe. One of my favorite movies is That Thing You Do, about a band and how it got going and finally gets their song on the radio and rises to fame, sort of. At one point, the band members are all in a camp trailer together with a guy trying to persuade them to sign him as their agent and engage in a record deal. In the middle of a very naive negotiation, Steve Zahn's character said, "That's it, I'm signing, you're signing, we're all signing." Well, when it comes to cognitive dissonances, I have them, you have them, we all have them. One example of cognitive dissonance might be something like rationalizing a thing because of peer pressure. Everybody else is doing it would be a classic rationalization. It has been used to justify everything from skipping class to illicit relationships and fraud. When you claim certain values and then you behave in a way inconsistent with them or in opposition to those values, you will feel cognitive dissonance, the stress and fog that comes from competing and unresolved ideas. In my coaching practice, I always listen carefully to identify a person's cognitive dissonances. I know that's a weird sounding word, but trust me, that is the plural of dissonance, dissonances, because English is so messed up. Most of us really do believe two or more things at the same time that are in competition with each other, and that kind of thinking really gets in our way. I might say, "Well, I committed to not get distracted in my work today, but watching this YouTube video isn't really a distraction. It's just a way to refresh and re-energize. I'll actually be better as soon as I watch it." And six more. There's some dissonance in there. Tension instead of release. The tension will always grow until resolution. I'm especially interested in identifying what I call conflicting beliefs. Now, some might argue that cognitive dissonance and conflicting beliefs are the same thing, and I suppose technically they kind of are. But I'm looking for the beliefs most likely to cause serious cognitive dissonance because they are in complete opposition to each other. Those are what I label conflicting beliefs. Conflicting beliefs are personal civil war. Here's an example. My life is such a mess. Only God can get me out of this. Versus, if there is a God, he wouldn't have let things get this bad. All right. So which of those are you going to go with? Those are opposing beliefs, and you believe both of them at the same time. At some point, your body and mind will find a way to resolve that conflict. Here's another one. This is a path toward financial success. Versus, I'll probably never have much money anyway. Well, those are polar opposites and in conflict. A person may subconsciously believe both at the same time, but only one can be true. So, which one is it? Which one is really true? The answer is the one that gets the most attention. The one the person clings to will inevitably win. True conflicting beliefs always become self-fulfilling prophecy. You get to decide what that end looks like. Here's some more examples. The world is full of opportunities and beauty. Versus, the world is going to hell in a handbasket and I may as well just duck and cover and wait for it to all be over. Here's another example from a coaching conversation I had recently. The person said, I know I might be sounding pessimistic, but I'm just sharing the bitter facts and not being negative. Can you see that her use of the words bitter facts is actually an expression of a negative and conflicting belief? It means that she believes that factually the outcome will be bitter, and that to believe the outcome will be sweet is to deny facts. Can you feel that conflict? Several studies have been done to show that pessimists, whose mantra is probably something like, I'm not a pessimist, I'm just stating facts, are actually more accurate than our optimists. However, pessimists are 8 times more likely to succumb to depression when things don't go well. Those with an optimistic mindset outperform pessimists in all aspects of life. And both of those, optimism and pessimism, are learned behaviors. Both use evidence to justify their beliefs, including competing beliefs. Listen to the evidence presented in the following examples. Example number one, I'm in danger. I'm just struggling financially. I'm afraid the money's going to run out. This will deplete my savings and put me at risk, and everything is going to collapse. Fear of loss makes me feel anxious and overwhelmed and angry. Here's my evidence. Spending money from my savings while trying to build this business is foolish when I haven't picked up any new clients this month. This means they're not going to engage and I'm going to lose everything. Compare that to belief number two. With practice, I can demonstrate the value of my services. People will trust me and be blessed by what I'm offering. By persistently following the plan, I'm likely to gain income far beyond that of my previous job. Here's my evidence. I have mentors who have already done what I'm trying to do. They've offered to help me. They're going to walk me through this entire process. The things I learn will help me be successful in anything. Even though there may be some bumps along the way, I can overcome them. Now, which of these two beliefs will serve you best? The first one, I'm going to fail, or the second one, I have evidence to show I will be successful. Both of them included evidence. Both of them are in conflict. The one that you cling to wins and becomes self-fulfilling prophecy. Now, remember when we talked a few minutes ago about dissonance in music, about tension and release? Tension grows until it's resolved. That's true in music, and it's true in our own minds. That resolution that we cling to may result in personal defeat or personal power, apathy or learning, fear or faith. anxiety, or peace. The belief you cling to will win. It's time to stop your civil war. Trying to stop your personal civil war by not thinking about the bad stuff doesn't work, because it focuses your attention on the most negative of your conflicting beliefs, or the one most likely to produce an undesired outcome. As part of our primitive fight-or-flight response, our brains are biased toward fear and danger. To win your personal civil war, you must develop the habit of clinging to the most enabling belief. Here's what I recommend you do. Find about 5 minutes today or tomorrow and divide a paper into two columns. In one column, write down at least 5 things you firmly believe about your life, your character, your future, your happiness. In the other column, identify the belief that conflicts or could potentially conflict with the things you wrote in column one. Now, carefully review and circle each one most likely to increase your self-control, your value, your power, your learning, or your faith. Those things that you have circled are key to your happiness. If you want this to be even more effective, write the things you've circled again and put them in a really prominent place. Review them, repeat them, cling to them. Choose to believe them versus their opposing counterpart. They are the self-fulfilling prophecy that leads to happiness. As for the false and negative beliefs, or the ones least likely to increase your self-control, your value, your power, your learning, or your faith, burn them. I'm not joking. Do it literally. Now, if you're somewhere where it's against the rules to burn something, or you are afraid you'll burn your house down, just tear that paper into little tiny pieces. Go through the physical act of rejecting the beliefs that are harmful to you. They are not your friends. Do you know what you get when you're done with this? Freedom! That's what you get. I want you to have it. I'm curious about what this experience is like for you and some of the things that you come up with. If you'd be willing to share those with me, click the link in the podcast description, go to the contact page, and just in the notes section, tell me what you felt, what you thought of, what you went through, and what this exercise was like for you. If I can help you in any way, contact me and we'll set up a time to talk, free of charge. Until then, go win your civil war. We'll talk again soon.